The Homeland Security Department's E-Verify program is supposed to keep illegal aliens from taking jobs in the United States. But the ID system has so many flaws, it's cost a half million legal workers their jobs. That's according to David Beer, a policy analyst at the Cato Institute, and he joins me now. Mr. Beer, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about E-Verify. I guess a number of years ago, it was supposed to be mandatory for all employers, but now it's voluntary?
Well, it's never been made mandatory. What is mandatory is that every employer has to check the identification of any worker that they're hiring. So that's the I-9 form. Every worker has to fill that out, and every employer has to obtain that information and check identification to see if they're a worker, a legal worker or not. And what E-Verify is supposed to do is then check to make sure that information that's been given is legitimate against federal government records maintained either at the Social Security Administration or at the Department of Homeland Security. That E-Verify program has never been made mandatory, but many employers voluntarily use it because they like to have the certainty that the workforce that they have is in fact legal because of the fact that you can use fake identification or fake Social Security numbers in order to obtain employment without the system.
Are there certain types of employers, certain industries that tend to use it more than others?
You know, I would just say that there are certain industries that tend not to use it. Industries where you have temporary or seasonal employment, agriculture, restaurant employees typically use it a little bit less. And that's just because of the problem that I'm, about to go into, which is that it can delay the hiring of an employee. And if you're hiring someone on a temporary basis, that can be a real problem for you. And so the way that the program is supposed to work is you submit your Social Security number and your name, and it checks against the Social Security Administration database or the Department of Homeland Security database, and it's supposed to instantaneously tell you, is this person here legally or not? If you're a legal worker, however, you can end up getting rejected if the employer submits your name incorrectly, misspelling, or the Social Security Administration entered your name incorrectly, or maybe you've changed your name and the bureaucracies have not updated that information. There are a variety of different ways that you can be caught up in this system.
The problem then is that false positives come up saying this person is not legal.
So it's a very rare in the absolute sense of things. So you're talking about less than a third of a percent of people who are run through the system. But because there are 30 million E-Verify queries every year, that's still tens of thousands of legal workers who end up being initially rejected for a job, and then they have to either go to the Department of Homeland Security or the Social Security Administration and try to figure out what happened. Was it a mistake by the employer? Was it a mistake by the administration? And try to correct their records. And that can be a very time-intensive process where they have to actually physically go to these places and identify what the problem is. And so we know that at least 50,000 workers a year for the past decade have been rejected by the E-Verify program, who ultimately proved that they were here legally. So that's a huge number of people who are ultimately having their jobs held up and having to go through this bureaucratic process.
And if the person who is rejected doesn't take some action to prove themselves in a certain amount of time, they can be permanently barred from work.
Exactly. So then there's a second group of people who typically what ends up happening is that the employer has to tell you that you've been initially rejected for the job. And if they don't tell you, then you're out of luck and you're going to lose your job as a result. So what ends up happening in very few and absolute in the relative sense, but in the grand scheme of things, it's still about 10,000 workers a year lose their jobs completely due to this E-Verify system, and the employer just puts their application in the trash can. 129,000 since 2006 have lost their job in this way.
We're speaking with David Beer, a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. I guess to its credit, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services does publish all of these figures for E-Verify, how many cases there were, how many were overcome, and so forth. So we have the data. So the question is, what can be done to eliminate those 10,000 people a year that get ground up in the system?
I don't think there's a lot that can be done. I mean, there's always an attempt at improving the system. They've made great strides over the last decade. The rate at which people are, you know, legal workers are being rejected is continuously going down. So the trends are in the right direction, but the improvements in the accuracy have been overcome by the increasing number of E-Verify queries. So even though, you know, it's twice as accurate as it was a decade ago, there are twice as many queries being made, and so there's, you know, the same number of legal workers being rejected. I do think that, you know, certain aspects of the program, ultimately you can require employers, impose some penalty on employers who put applications in the trash can, but ultimately there's so little enforcement already in this space of I-9 and E-Verify queries that who's really going to be checking to see if you check the name against the E-Verify database and then you put the application in the trash can. I don't know that that's ever going to be a situation that DHS is prepared to have the manpower to go out and do that kind of investigation in order to, you know, make sure that this doesn't happen.
It seems like one of the issues is that if someone is rejected for a job and they go away, and then that employer finds out, nope, that person was legal after all. They don't tell the person because they don't have really contact with them anymore. And maybe that seems to be where one of the gaps occurs.
Yes, a greater control at the employee level would certainly help. Right now, you're not even required to tell the employee that your name is being run through the E-Verify system in advance of that query being run. So that would help, an acknowledgement that the employee has the right to know that their information is going through the database, and then having access to your you know, queries that have been run against your name, so you can actually go in and check, okay, who's been running my name against this E-Verify check. I think that would go a long way to improving individual control over the system. But, you know, the reality is, you know, unless you know in advance and that the employer is willing to cooperate in some way, it's going to be difficult for you to know that your name is being checked and to know to check to see if it's being used or not.
But ultimately, it seems like right now the burden is on the individual to make sure that their name is cleared in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, yes. Once you are rejected initially, the presumption falls on you. You have to present evidence that you are who you say you are. It's really a kind of guilty until proven innocent situation at that point. And there's always going to be errors in any system. And if this becomes even more prevalent, E-Verify is being used by all employers, as some have suggested it be used, you're going to have even more of these mistakes being made. The reality is you can only go so far. It's 99.84% accurate. That's a really good rate, but that still equals 50,000 workers a year. And if you double the number of employers and employees who are using the program, that's 100,000 people being rejected. So it is ultimately going to be a problem.
David Beer is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Find a link to his article and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.